Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges, and today is Thursday, the day we try to apply and live out what we've been learning all week. This week we're exploring whether Jesus is a revolutionary. We saw yesterday that Jesus' methods were very unlike most revolutionaries. He didn't use violence or coercion. He seemed to do everything wrong as a revolutionary. He was a revolutionary, if you will. I asked you why he might use such different methods. Well, with Jesus, the regime he wants to implement, the kingdom of God, is not something he can just describe with words. It's something he lives out. It's something that he is, that he brings about simply by his presence here on earth. If the kingdom of God is supposed to be a place of peace and freedom and hope, then it can't be brought about through violence and coercion. The Eastern Church has a great story about the coming of the kingdom. Once upon a time, there was a good and kind king who had a great kingdom and many cities. But in one of those distant cities, some people took advantage of the freedom the king gave them and started doing evil. They profited by their evil and began to fear the king would interfere and throw them in jail, and eventually these rebels seethed with hatred for their king. They convinced the city that everyone would be better off without the king, and the city declared its independence from the kingdom. But soon, with everyone doing whatever they wanted, disorder reigned in the city. There was violence, hatred, lying, oppression, murder, rape, slavery, and fear. The king thought, "What should I do? If I take my army and conquer the city by force, people will fight against me and I'll have to kill so many of them, and the rest will only submit through fear or intimidation, which will make them hate me all the more. How does that help them? To be either dead or imprisoned or secretly seething with rage. But if I leave them alone, they'll destroy each other, and it breaks my heart to think of the pain they're causing." So the king did something very surprising. He took off his robes and dressed in the rags of a homeless wanderer. Incognito, he entered the city and began living in a vacant lot near a garbage dump. He took up a trade, fixing broken pottery and furniture. Whenever people came to him, his kindness and goodness and fairness and respect were so striking they'd linger just to be in his presence. They'd tell him their fears and questions and ask his advice. He told them that the rebels had fooled them, that the true king had a better way to live, which exemplified and taught. One by one, then two by two, and then by the hundreds, people began to have confidence in him and live in his way. Their influence spread to others, and the movement grew and grew until the whole city regretted its rebellion and wanted to return to the kingdom again. But ashamed of their horrible mistake, they were afraid to approach the king, believing he would certainly destroy them for their rebellion. But the king in disguise told them the good news. He himself was the king, and he loved them. He held nothing against them and welcomed them back into his kingdom, having accomplished by a gentle, subtle presence what never could have been accomplished through brute force. That's one important contrast between Jesus and other revolutionaries. He leads it by example, through peace, through example, rather than through coercion and violence. He really symbolized this on what we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. People thought he was finally going to lead some troops into Jerusalem like a conquering king and take it over. In the end, he rode in on a donkey. He insisted on it, even when his followers would probably have preferred something more majestic. Instead of riding in on a stallion, he rode in on a little donkey, which probably seemed a little embarrassing. But it exemplified who he was and what he was about. He wasn't going to come in sword swinging from a stallion. He was going to conquer that city and that nation by another force, love. Then, that week in Jerusalem, he went on to do what most revolutionaries do. He died for his cause, became a martyr. But, since he was a revolutionary, that didn't last long. After his mock trial, after his crucifixion, being buried in a tomb, he rose again from the dead. His revolution was never against the Roman government or the Roman Empire. It had always been against death itself, against sin and evil. Evil that we brought into our world so long ago was finally going to meet its match. The consequence of evil had always been death, and death had always been final for people, until Jesus. By rising again from the dead, he destroyed death's power to keep us down, and invited us to join him in his movement, in his revolution. Not a revolution against governments, but a revolution against evil, sin, and death itself. He invited us to rise again with him, to new life in him, and to join him in the kingdom of God, both here, now in this world, and after we die our physical death. And so our calling is now to start practicing and living out God's kingdom, start living out his revolution, to join his movement, to be one of those people behind him, not inciting violence everywhere we go, but rather peace. What we can do is we can read the parables that we find all over Jesus's biographies, the Gospels, and see how he described the kingdom. All sorts of them started at the kingdom of God is like, and then he would use one image or another to describe what the kingdom of God was meant to be. That'll give us a full picture of what the kingdom of God is like and how we can join in that movement now, to join in his revolution, changing not just the world, but changing the nature of life and death itself. That's what he's inviting us to be a part of. And that's why his revolution didn't look like other revolutions. Because it was much bigger than any government, much bigger than any one leader. It was bigger than us, it was bigger than our world. It had to do with God's entire creation being set right once again, back to the way it was meant to be, with our proper king at our head. You might want to check out our first two teaching series on the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. They'd be a great introduction to the kingdom of God and how Jesus describes it. But that's it for our exploration today. I've got a challenge for you to try to put into action this week. How can the teachings of Jesus challenge the status quo in your workplace, in your home, or your neighborhood? How can you live out God's kingdom right where you are, even in a broken place? We'll have a great discussion, talking to your group about how you're going to try to apply and live that out this week. I'll see you tomorrow as we take time to pray and reflect. Bye for now.